Well, a few years ago, I started dabbling in the garden. And I've been experimenting and expanding my knowledge with fruit trees and veggies. It started with a lemon tree that Daniel bought us one Christmas. And I just plonked this tree in the soil and expected it to grow and produce lots and lots of lemons. For the next 2 years, this lemon tree slowly went backwards. It lost its leaves and looked like it was about to die. I remember staring blankly at this tree and declaring, "What is wrong with you? Why won't you grow? Where are your lemons?" My mum overheard my argument with the tree and she told me that I needed to feed my lemon tree. "I water it," I told my mum. Mum went on to explain that the lemon tree can't survive on only water, it needs feeding. And what I need to be getting is putting lots of nutrients into the soil. Now, for 2 years, I've been regularly feeding my lemon tree, and the results have been amazing. Not only is my tree now growing, but last year we got our first lemon, and it looks like, judging by the flowers and stuff, that next season we might have 6 to 9 lemons. It's amazing the difference that good soil makes. Now, 2 years ago, the kids and I got hooked on the New World Little Garden seedlings, and we built a little bit of a veggie patch at home. And the first year, the veggies grew huge, and we barely had space to contain the rapidly growing plants. We produced an amazing harvest. A year later, we planted seeds and expected the same results. However, this time, the veggie garden barely grew. At the end of the season, the veggies were tiny and not edible. I was puzzled and confused and could not understand how 1 year I'd experienced an amazing crop of veggies and next year, nothing. This is when Mum once again came in with her gardening wisdom and knowledge and she said, "Jim, did you do anything with the soil?" I looked at Mum and gave my usual response. "I put the seeds in and I watered. What more is there?" Mum then explained to me that the veggies from the year before most likely used up all the nutrients in the soil so that in my second year, there were no more nutrients left to help the veggies grow big and edible. Also, accidentally spraying the veggie garden with 30-second deck cleaner probably didn't help the process either. Mum told me that each year at the start of spring, before I plant, I need to mix nutrients and plant food through the soil of my veggie garden. This way, the plants will have enough food to sustain them and help them grow big enough to be gobbled up at dinner time. Well, as a novice gardener, I'm quickly learning the importance of good soil. If the soil is good, the plants grow well. If the soil is not good, the plants don't grow well. Or except for the weeds, they seem to grow in anything. I find it interesting that as Jesus talks about the kingdom of God growing in the life of a believer, he uses the illustration of different types of soil. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Matthew chapter 13, and we're reading verses 3 to 9. Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9. Then Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on a rocky place where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." You don't have to have a degree in theology to understand what Jesus is saying in this parable. Good soil is critical for good growth. If we want to see the kingdom of God unleashed and a follower of Christ, then their life has to be like good soil. Therefore, a great question for us to ask would be, how do we make sure that our lives demonstrate good soil? How do we make sure that our lives are filled with all the nutrients necessary for the kingdom of God to grow? Well, the first thing that Jesus teaches us is a nutritious life needs understanding. In verse 4, we find the first type of soil. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. When you think about it, this makes sense. In the ancient world, the ground of a path would be rock hard, almost like a concrete path today. And you can't expect seeds planted on a path to grow. Before the seed even has a chance to germinate, Jesus tells us that the birds will come and gobble the seed right up. Now, if you're familiar with Matthew chapter 13, then you'll know that later on in the chapter, Jesus unpacks our parable, explaining what he means by each type of soil. For the seed planted on the path, Jesus says in verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. One of the keys to a nutritious life is understanding the kingdom of God. Now, I think one of the dangers when talking about the soil of the hard path is to only blame the birds, to blame the evil one for coming and gobbling up the seed. This is one of my worries of our culture today. We love to pass the blame on to someone else rather than looking to ourselves or to our loved ones who might have a part to play. So when people are not accepting the kingdom of God, it would be easy to declare, oh, it must be the enemy's fault. Well, don't get me wrong, the enemy definitely has a part to play. But at the same time, I don't think we can escape the reality that the hard path can be like a hard heart that just doesn't want to understand the kingdom of God. Sometimes, for whatever reason, people are just shut off and do not want to hear anything. This is why humility is so important, because it is only from a humble heart that we can begin to understand God and his kingdom. My first pastor was one of the most amazing preachers I have ever witnessed. He was one of these guys that could pretty much just get up with a Bible, no notes, and just preach with the most amazing wisdom and knowledge. His understanding of God and God's kingdom was huge. Now, when I attended this church, I remember having lots of conversations with people, and they'd say things like, oh, I wish I had the same kind of understanding about God as our pastor does. Now, towards the end of my time at this church, our senior pastor got a job back in America, and so he was packing up his life to head back to the States. I was at Bible college at the time, and I was working at the church as an intern. And I remember our senior pastor coming to me with a box of about 40 books. And he said to me, Jeremy, I want to give you some of my favorite books that have shaped and influenced me as a pastor so that they can do the same for you. Now, later that day, I opened the box and I looked through the books. And as I opened the books, I realized that they were covered with highlighter. And he'd penciled comments in the margins as he read and understood what these books were saying and teaching about Jesus. You know, a lot of people at that church made the comment, I wish I had the same kind of understanding about God as our pastor. But what people didn't realize was the thousands of hours that our pastor spent reading and learning so that he could understand God in the deepest way possible. Often we want to understand God at a surface level, but we don't want to put the time or effort required to fully understand God in the deepest way possible. In a similar way to my garden at home, where I'm quickly learning that if I want my plants to bear fruit, then I have to put in the work. If we want our lives to be like good soil and bear fruit for the kingdom of God, then we need to put in hard work. So how do we understand God and his kingdom? Well, I believe there are four main ways. First, read and read and read the Bible. The Bible is the main and most important way we can learn and understand about God and his kingdom. Second, we need to read Christian literature. It is often these books by people that study the Bible as a profession that can help us understand and learn more about what is written in the Bible. Third, we need to listen to sermons. One of the preacher's main jobs is to teach and unpack what the Bible is saying for God's people so that we can understand God and his kingdom better. And finally, I believe listening to worship music can also be another great way of understanding God, because often there are amazing kingdom truths found within the lyrics of good worship music. I encourage us all to keep putting in the hard work to continue to grow our understanding of God and His kingdom. Let's be good soil. The second thing we need to realize is that a nutritious life needs deep roots. In verses 5 to 6, Jesus says, "Some seeds fell on a rocky place where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root." Last year when I was planting my carrots, I must have had some of the seed on my clothes. And as I walked back to the garage, some of the seed fell on some dirt that was on the path, only about 2 millimeters deep. It was quite interesting watching carrots try to grow in only 2 millimeters of dirt. Initially, they sprouted up quite quickly, and in the first couple of the weeks, they looked really healthy. But of course, the time came when they needed to go deep, which was not possible because they were on a path with 2 millimeters of dirt. And so they soon perished. Seeds planted in shallow soil struggle to survive. Jesus explains the soil in verses 20 to 21, saying, "The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away." In a similar way to the seed trying to grow in only 2 millimeters of soil, sometimes people can hear the gospel message of Jesus dying for their sins so that they can be saved, and they receive this message with joy. But then life hits, tough times come their way, and they can't help but start wondering, if God is love, then why does life still suck? And very soon they're walking away. In a similar way to the previous point, another one of the keys to a nutritious life is a humble heart that is always seeking to grow their roots deeper in God. I remember a young person that was in a previous youth group. They attended Easter camp with us, and while they were at camp, they made a decision to follow Jesus. This person just came alive for Christ. They were reading their Bible nearly every night. They were continually singing worship songs. They even started serving at church. Everything was tracking in the right direction. Then after about a year, they faced some tough times. Things started going wrong. And before long, this person had walked away from church, from youth group, and to my knowledge, they'd even walked away from God. I'm sure we've all seen this scenario. Someone that one minute seems so alive and on fire for Jesus, and the next minute they seem to have turned away and are following something else. If we want to keep filling our lives with nutrients, then we need to make sure that our roots are going deep and our relationship with Jesus Christ. So how do we do this? I believe this is where spiritual disciplines are so important. Things like reading the Bible, prayer, serving, acts of generosity, accountability, Christian fellowship, tithing, and fasting. Spiritual disciplines essentially help us connect with God. And if we're connecting with God, then we're getting those roots going as deep as possible. However, there is one thing we really need to understand. We can't do all of this alone. In Matthew 13, Jesus taught his parables to large crowds. But then later on, when he was alone with his disciples, they were a bit confused. And so they asked Jesus what the parables meant. And then Jesus explained the parables to his disciples so that they could understand. This is discipleship. Jesus walked alongside the disciples, helping them grow their roots deep and strong. Christian community is so important. We can't do this alone. We need each other. We need to be walking alongside each other, helping each other grow deep in Christ. Because let's be honest, we're all going to face tough and difficult times. We're all going to face trials and temptations. We're all going to face that moment when we need to make a choice. Do we step forward in Christ or do we turn and flee? And from my own personal experience, that step forwards towards Jesus is a lot easier to make when you're surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ who are cheering you on than when you stand alone, isolated, with the voices of the world screaming at you that there must be, that any way must be better and easier than Jesus' way. The only way to be able to face the difficulties of life and understand that Jesus' work on the cross and his grace is always enough is when our roots go deep. We need to get in the habit of doing spiritual disciplines. We need to be doing discipleship and Christian community. And we need to realize that good, nutritious soil takes lots and lots of hard work. The third thing to understand is a nutritious life needs to trust God. In verse 7 it reads, "Other seeds fell among thorns which grew up and choked the plant." If you're into gardening, then you know that it's not just about good soil, because even in good soil you can have weeds and gorse that are trying to take over and suffocate your plants. In verse 22, Jesus explains this parable. He says, "The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful." In short, if we want to see the kingdom of God come to fruition in our lives, then we need to trust God. And the first point, I said that one of the keys to a nutritious life is a humble heart that is always open to try to understand God and his kingdom. And the second point, I said another key to a nutritious life is a humble heart that is always seeking to grow roots deeper in God. For our current point, I'd say the final key to a nutritious life is a humble heart that is trusting God in all circumstances. Have you noticed a common theme at each point? Humility. I believe the only way to understand God, to grow deep in God and to trust God is when we have a heart that demonstrates humility. As soon as pride enters the picture, hearts start becoming hard and the kingdom of God stops germinating. Humility is key. This is why Jesus opened the Sermon on the Mount, the very first teaching words of Jesus recorded in the Bible, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," or the humble, "for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Humility is the key to having good soil, especially when it comes to trusting God, because let's be honest, the kingdom of God stands in stark contrast to the kingdom of the world. The worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth are always going to be fighting for our attention and our hearts. And I think one of the dangers for the church in the West is that we can start to understand our faith in Christ as something that we'll cash in at the end of our lives to guarantee our place in heaven. We need to realize that our faith, the kingdom of God, it's not for when we die. It starts right here, right now. And I believe we all need to have humility to ask the question, am I living for the kingdom of the world or am I living for the kingdom of God? Am I trusting God or am I trusting the world? When Bex and I had our first child, Enzo, we decided that it would be best for Bex to be a stay-at-home mum. This meant all of a sudden we went from being a double-income family to a single-income family. Not just a single income, but a Presbyterian pastor's income. I was freaking out. Everything inside me wanted to resign from being a pastor to get a job that would be able to provide my family with financial security. I faced a choice. Who am I going to trust, God or the world? I decided to trust God and his call upon my life. Our single income years were extremely difficult, but you know what? We survived. And more importantly, in trusting God, we realized that he really does provide for us when we're obedient to him and are living for him. There were weeks when we received unexpected bills, like the car broke. It's like, oh, we didn't plan for that. We can't afford that. And we're like looking at the bills thinking, we don't know how to make ends meet this week. And it'd be at these moments that we go to the letterbox and we find an anonymous envelope with some money that would help us cover the bills we had that week. This kind of thing happened quite a few times. We are so in debt to the generosity of God's people who are obviously listening to the Spirit of God because these gifts came always at the exact right time. Looking back over our single income years, it was quite the journey, but we could really summarize it saying, we trusted God and God provided. Trusting God is the final piece of the puzzle to cultivating good soil where seeds can germinate and grow to their full potential. But this concept to trust God is a hard one to put into practice because think about it, this idea is countercultural because we're taught from a young age to trust ourselves and make things happen. Study hard, get a job, work hard, and just make life happen. The idea of trusting anyone except for ourselves gets sold to us by our culture as being weak. But I promise you, there is nothing weak about trusting God. In fact, trusting God will make your faith exceptionally strong. Now, as we think about the importance of trusting God, the one thing we really need to understand is that the world is going to try and take us out. I'm sure we've all seen it in New Zealand where the council plants some little native plants on a bank, and then about 6 months later, you notice the bank covered in gorse, and you can't help but think, those little plants are not going to make it because that gorse is going to take them out. This picture summarizes the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. We are those little native plants on a bank, surrounded by the gorse of the world that is trying to take us out. We need to stand guard. We need to be ready. And more importantly, no matter how much that gorse surrounds us, we need to trust God and his kingdom. Now, how do we trust God? We need to trust that he will strengthen us when we need it. We need to trust that he will provide for us so that we can live for him and his kingdom. And we need to trust that his ways are good and that if we are obedient to his words, then we'll experience true life. A nutritious life needs to trust God. So there we have it. If we want our lives to be like good soil, then we need to understand God. We need to have deep roots and we need to trust God. But there's one other thing we need to understand. A nutritious life starts with you. I think when we read the parable of the sower today, we can naturally think that we just have to get out there and sow the seeds of the gospel. Now, there is an element of truth to this, don't get me wrong, but we don't need to make sure that we don't miss the original message. When Jesus spoke this parable, he was referring to himself as the sower. The seed is the good news about Jesus, and the different soils represent the people that sat in front of Jesus, listening to the seed that was being scattered over their lives. We need to be careful as followers of Christ that in our mission to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world around us, that we don't forget that the message of the kingdom of God needs to start in our own hearts. The good soil needs to start in the church. I sometimes get so discouraged. Things like behavior that still goes out on around followers of Jesus. Things like Christians being rude to each other. Christians gossiping about each other. Christians lying to each other. Christians being too busy to help one another. And Christians not forgiving each other. Sometimes I can't help but think, if we can't get it right in the church, then how can we ever take our message out to the world around us? I mean, Jesus says in John 13, 34 to 35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. The kingdom of God and good soil needs to start in the church before it can then flood into the world around us. This is why in all my points, I've mentioned the importance of humility. Because it is only when we demonstrate humility and open up our own hearts to the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we will then see God's kingdom unleashed in the world around us. In the last 16 years, I've had to attend many national church meetings where the issue of sexuality in the church in New Zealand has been discussed. I've watched both sides, the conservatives and the liberals, debate this topic, and at times I've seen the arguments get extremely heated and intense. As I've sat in these meetings and observed these debates, I've often had this thought in my mind: if Jesus was standing in this room, would we have ears to listen to him? When I go to these kinds of meetings, I always try to carry a spirit of humility. As I go into the meetings, I still myself before the Lord. I open my heart to what Jesus might want to say to me, and I pray those powerful words, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Over the last 16 years, as I've tried to demonstrate humility in this area, my theology has not changed. As I seek God's guidance, my theology has remained on the conservative side. But what has changed is how I view those that hold different views to me. I look to those on the liberal side and I see my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I still talk with them. I listen to their story. I continue to walk with them and I love them. As I humbly walk alongside those in the church that hold very different views to me, I can't help but hear those words of Christ: by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I believe living for the kingdom of God and being good soil starts with humility. We can't be disciples of Christ if we don't demonstrate humility. We can't do mission and outreach if we don't have humility. We can't fully be the hands and feet of Christ if we don't practice humility. After all, it takes humility to try and understand God. It takes humility to grow the roots of our lives deep in God. It takes humility to trust God. And it takes humility to pray prayers like, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." I hope and pray that we'll be a church of humble people that is seeking the heartbeat of God in all that we do. And if we do this, then I believe without a doubt that we will see the seeds of the kingdom scattered from North Porirua Baptist Church into the communities around us. Remember, if we want to do mission in our world, then it starts with us. To end this sermon, I want to play a song that will hopefully encourage and inspire us to be good soil and to see the kingdom of God grow around us. We're going to change things up today. This will be like our final song, but you don't have to stand for this one. Just sit, watch, listen, and let God speak to you through these words.